ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹாம். ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாபியாம் நமஹாம். ஜிக்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாத்தோ பிரம்ம ஜிக்ஞாசாம் ஜென்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜென்மாத்யஸ்யகதா சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத் சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத் சாப்டர் 1-4 செக்ஷன் ஆனுமானிக அதிகரணம் ஆனுமானிக்கமப்யேகேஷாமிதி சேத் ந ஷரீர ரூபக விநியஸ்த க்ருஹீதே தர்ஷயதி ச சூக்ஷ்மம் து தத் அர்ஹத்வாத் தத்தீனத்வாத் அர்த்தவத் ஞேயத்வ அவசனாச் ச வததீதி சேத் ந ப்ராஜ்ஞோ ஹி ப்ரகரணாத் த்ரயாணாம் ஏவ சைவம் உபன்யாச ப்ரஷ்னஸ்ச மகத்வச்ச சமசாதிகரணம் சமசவத் அவிசேஷாத் ஜோதிஹி உபக்ரமாது ததாஹி அதீயத ஏகே கல்பனோபதேசாச்ச மத்வாதிவர விரோதஹ சங்க்யோபசங்கிரஹாதிகரணம் ந சங்க்யோபசங்கிரஹாத் அபி நானாபாவாத் அதிரேகாச்ச பிராணாதய வாக்கியசேஷாத் ஜோதிஷைக்கேஷாம் அசத்தியன்னே காரணத்வாதிகரணம் காரணத்வேன ச ஆகாஷாதிஷு யதாம் வ்யபதிஷ்டோக்தேஹ சமாகர்ஷாத் பாலாக்கியாதிகரணம் ஜகத்வாசித்வாத் ஜீவமுக்கிய பிராணலிங்கான் நிச்சேத் தத்வியாக்கியாதம் அந்யார்த்தம் து ஜெய்மினிஹி பிரஷ்ன வியாக்கியானாப்யாம் அபி சைவ மேகே வாக்கிய அன்வாதிகரணம் அன்வயாதிகரணம் வாக்கியான்வயாத் பிரதிஜ்ஞா சித்தேஹே லிங்கம் ஆஸ்மரத்யஹ உத்க்ரமிஷ்யத ஏவம் பாவாதித்யோ லிங் அங் ஔடுலோமிஹி அவஸ்திதேஹே இதி காஷக்தத்ஸ்னஹாம் பிரகிருத்யதிகரணம் பிரகிருதிஷ்ச பிரதிஜ்ஞா திருஷ்டாந்த அனுபரோதாத் அபித்யோபதேசாச்ச சாக்ஷாச்சோபயாம் நானாத் ஆத்மக்ருதேஹே பரிணாமாத் யோனிஷ்சஹி கீயதே சர்வவியாக்கியானாதிகரணம் ஏதேன சர்வே வியாக்கியாதா வியாக்கியாதாஹ. வித் திஸ் வி கம்ப்ளீட்டட் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. And now we will enter into the second chapter, first pada. As we said yesterday, the second chapter does not have any new job at all. It gives only clarity and conviction to the teaching. This is done by two methods. The first method is defending the Vedantic teaching or reinforcing the Vedantic teaching by answering all the possible objections by Purvapakshis and others. And the objection alone weakens our knowledge. The objections may primarily come from my own buddhi, and therefore some people claim you do not think, and that cannot be the solution. So thinking alone makes us a human being. Else we will all become animals. So why should we go to animal janma? So we should keep on thinking, nourishing our thinking. I cannot stop thinking. So if it creates a problem, stop the problem, not the thinking. Think more. Then there are Purvapakshi intellectuals also, capable of spinning their own teaching. So we have to reinforce our Siddhanta of Chetana Brahma Jagat Karanam. And also we should remove the objections from the Purvapakshis. And objections generally can arise from three different ways. And the first type of objection is Shruti Virodha Doshaha. Someone can say, your teaching is not in line with Vedantic teaching, Shruti. So first type of objection is Shruti Virodha Doshaha. It is like the teaching that Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. And the objection that it is against Shruti, saying that your teaching is against Shruti itself. And then the second type of objection can be in the form of Smriti Virodha Dosha also. In tradition, we accept Smriti also as a valid source of knowledge, and it has got pramanyam and validity being based on Shruti itself. So the teaching should not contradict Smriti. And there are four philosophies: Sankhya philosophy, Yoga philosophy, Nyaya philosophy, and Vaisheshika philosophies. They are all called Smritis. Normally, we call them as other systems of philosophy, and really speaking, they are also Smriti only, because their authors also are Vaidikas, like Kapila Muni, Patanjali Muni, Jaimini Muni, and Kanada Muni. They are all the authors of the other four darshanams or philosophies. And they are rishis, and they are Astikas, and their teachings are in keeping with Veda Pramana. Anything based on Vedam is called Smriti. And Brahma Sutra itself is a form of Smriti only. It is in keeping with Smriti. And Sankhya, they accept and they borrow Veda. And so Sankhya Darshanam is also called Sankhya Smriti. And there are so many Smritis, including Manusmriti also. And all of them are based on one Vedic source, and they should not contradict each other. And if they contradict, then Smritis themselves will become weak. And the very Shruti itself will become weak. The very validity of Veda will become invalid if we allow the contradictions amongst various Smritis, because they are supposed to be derivatives from the Shruti itself, Vedas. And the third task is objection based on reasoning and logic. That should be removed. Buddhi always favors reasoning. Intellect always favors reasoning. Even that person who says logic is a problem, for him even the rejection of logic is based on what? Is based on logic only. So some people say the greatest problem is thinking. But the person forgets that the very dropping of logic is based on logic only. For example, when Galileo established sun is the central thing and not earth, he was punished by the church because of the pain of accepting it. One's intellect will not accept which the intellect thinks as illogical. And so when you think Vedanta is illogical, you cannot accept Vedanta. And when you think Vedanta is illogical, for strengthening the Siddhanta, you have to remove the contradictions. Since contradictions are resolved in this chapter, second chapter, it is the second innings, as we can say, of the one-day match. Therefore, the first chapter is the first innings. And in the second innings, we have to defend against the Purvapakshi, who is stronger now. And this is reinforcement of Siddhanta. We have got one more job in the second chapter. And what is that? Weakening of the Purvapakshi by showing that whatever objections Purvapakshi has raised, all these defects are there in your Purvapakshi also. Whatever objections you create in us, you are accusing of us. The same defects you also have in Purvapaksha. This is weakening of the Purvapakshi. And strengthening of Siddhanta and weakening of Purvapakshi is the job of second chapter. And this is done not only in the second chapter, but also in the other two chapters, 3 and 4 also. So the second chapter shows that all other darshanams are full of defects. So if the first chapter is equivalent to Shravana, second chapter is like equivalent to Manana. So therefore, the approach is slightly different here. In first chapter, we try to extract the teaching from Vedanta. Every Adhikaranam had Shruti Vakyam, Sivishaya Vakyam taken from the Upanishads. And the aim was what? Was to extract the teaching in first chapter. And in the second chapter, we don't extract the teaching. We don't have the Vishaya Vakyam in the Adhikaranams at all. The second chapter is primarily answering the objections from other people. So if at all we require a Vishaya Vakyam, we will point out well in advance. So the second chapter also has got 4 padas, as I mentioned earlier. The first pada concentrates on Smriti Nyaya Virodha Pariharaha. Smriti Nyaya Virodha Pariharaha. The refutations of objections with the help of Shruti and Smriti are the essence of the second chapter. So this is the topic of the first pada of the second chapter. So with this background, now let us enter into the first pada, first adhikaranam of the second chapter. And this adhikaranam is called Smrityadhikaranam, and it has got two sutras. And the sutra we are going to, first sutra going to deal with, the long sutra. It says, Smrityanavakasha dosha prasangaha iti chet na anya smrityanavakasha dosha prasangat. Long sentence. Smrityanavakasha dosha prasangaha iti chet na anya smrityanavakasha dosha prasangat. As was said previously, the second chapter is called Avirodha Adhyayaha. Avirodha. First chapter is called Samanvaya Adhyayaha. This is called Avirodha Adhyayaha. It is primarily meant to give clarity to the teaching established in chapter 1. And how this is done? By negating the contradictions between Vedantic teaching and other factors. And what are the other factors? There are three factors. Vedantic teaching contradicting Veda itself. This is the first factor. Vedantic teaching contradicting Veda itself. We call it self-contradiction doubt. The doubt regarding self-contradiction. Vedanta contradicting Veda itself. And the second factor is doubts or contradictions regarding the Vedantic teaching with other smritis. Other smriti grantas which claim to follow the Vedic teaching. That is why they are called smriti grantha. We call them smriti because they are followed based on this smriti only. So all astika darshanas, what are those? Sankhya darshanam, nyaya darshanam, yoga darshanam, vaisheshika, all of them. So all these are called smriti because they also accept Veda pramana. But if we see the contradictions between Shruti and Smriti, then our knowledge will be weak. And therefore, we have to get the contradictions removed. And then the third factor is, the weakness of the knowledge can be caused by the seeming contradiction with logic or tarka. Tarka virodaha. So now we've got, what are the three factors now we got? Number one, Shruti virodaha. Number two, Smriti Virodha. And number three, Tarka Virodha or Nyaya Virodha. It could be any of these three factors. As long as we have these contradictions, the knowledge will not be a steady knowledge for us. There is no actual contradiction. But if we see contradiction, then our knowledge will be weak. And therefore, those have to be resolved to get clarity of knowledge. This is the pure job of what? Manana. And since this chapter resolves these contradictions, it is called Avirodha Adhyayaha. Virodha Parihara Adhyayaha Chattaha. And this is done in all the four padas of this chapter. And now let us enter the first pada of the second chapter. Here, Vyasacharya resolves Nyaya Tarka and the Smriti Virodha. He is trying to eliminate that contradiction. So if this chapter is called Smriti Tarka Virodha Parihara, and the same forms the topic of the first pada also. So when you say Smriti, the four Astika Darshanams are kept in mind. What are those? The Sankhya of Kapila Muni, the Yoga of Patanjali, and Nyaya of Gautama, and Vaisheshika of Kanada Muni. So they get the status of Smriti because all of them accept Veda Pramana. All Darshanas believe in Veda Pramanam. And now, the general introduction of the first Adhikaranam, we will see. It is again a small Adhikaranam with only two sutras, and it is called Smrityadhikaranam. Because the first sutra starts with the word Smrityanavakashaha. Here Vyasacharya resolves Smriti Vedanta Virodaha, contradiction between Vedanta and Smriti. And the word Smriti has got a broad meaning here. And here, primarily, Sankhya Smriti is kept in mind, Sankhya's, even though all the four Smritis can be taken in general. Therefore, the essence of this Adhikaranam is Sankhya Smriti Virodha Pariharaha. Now, let us go to the general analysis of the first sutra. It consists of two portions, the long sentence, the sutra that I read, it consists of two portions. And the first portion is Purvapakshi portion, and the second portion is Siddhanti portion. That is Smrityanavakasha Dosha Prasangaha, up to that is Purvapaksha. Iti chenna anya Smrityanavakasha Dosha Prasangat, that is the Siddhanta portion, second portion. So what is the Purvapakshi's contention here? The Purvapakshi says, through the first chapter, you have established the Chetana Karana Vada as the essence of Vedic teaching. He is addressing the Siddhanti and tells, through the first chapter, you have established Chetana Karana Vada, which means Brahma Karana Vada. Consciousness is the material cause, Upadhana Karanam of creation. And in addition, the Purvapakshi says, if you establish this teaching, it will be contradictory to the Sankhya Smriti. Why? Because Sankhya Smriti or Sankhya Darshana clearly established what? Achetana Karanavada. Matter is the material cause of creation. And if there is a contradiction between Sankhya and Vedanta, there will be a problem. There should not be a contradiction because both of them are Smriti Granthas, deriving their nourishment from the Vedas only. So as we said, Brahma Sutra is also a Smriti Grantha, deriving its nourishment from Veda. So it should be resolved because they should live together. Vedanta and Sankhya Smriti should not have contradiction. And if there is one, then the Sankhya Smriti will become redundant. Redundance of Sankhya Smriti is no good news to us because it is also a Smriti Grantha based on Shruti. Therefore, you should come to the Vaidika fold, Veda-based fold. You may reject Buddhism perhaps, since it is outside the Smriti and outside the scope of Vedantic darshanas. You cannot do this with all these other darshanas like Sankhya Yoga and all that. So you should interpret Smriti in such a manner as to accommodate Sankhya Smriti, but you have not done this properly. Who says this? Purvapakshi says this to Siddhanti. You should interpret the Smriti in such a manner as to accommodate Sankhya Smriti, but you have not done this properly. So that is the accusation by the Purvapakshi. So you have to do the samanvaya in such a way, in the first chapter. You should have done the samanvaya in such a way that the first chapter should have been done in such a way that it would have accommodated Sankhya Smriti also. And you have not done that properly. And why do I say so? Because you have established Chetana Karanavada. That's what you have established. You have established that thing. Chetana Karanavada is what you have established. And you reject Achetana Karanavada. Because you have established Chetana Karanavada and indirectly rejected Achetana Karanavada of Sankhyas, by that you reject one of the Smriti Darshanas which is not proper. These are the arguments of the Sankhyavadis. For this, the answer is given in this sutra. Vyasacharya says, what can I do? They are unavoidable things in life. Because suppose I interpret Veda in such a way to accommodate Sankhya Smriti. Let us assume that I accommodate. Then what will happen? Then I should establish Achetana Karanavada. So I should compromise in such a way that Sankhya Smriti is also accommodated, which is possible only when I accept Achetana Karanavada. For the accommodation of Sankhya Smriti, if I accept Achetana Karanavada, what will happen? What will be the problem? There are some other Smriti Granthas like Manusmriti, Puranas, all those which talk about Chetana Karanavada. And they will all become redundant and get rejected. So the problem is what? The problem is not solved by Achetana Karanavada interpretation because the problem will still remain. other smritis have to be rejected. Then I can take Manusmriti is accepted, then Sankhya Smriti is going to be rejected. So if I accept Achetana Karana Vada, Manusmriti, etc., will be rejected. Therefore, since the defect of rejection is common to both, that is Chetana Karana Vada and Achetana Karana Vada, you cannot blame me for wrong interpretation. Who tells whom? Siddhanti tells the Purvapakshi. And since problem of defect is common, how can you charge me with a defect? There is a rule. Yatra ubayo samo doshaha pariharasya tasamaha naika pratyanyoktavyaha tadrigartha vicharane. There is a rule. One of the rules of arguments. When two systems have similar defect, yatra ubayo samo doshaha, have same defect. Ubayaha means two, both. One has no right to criticize the other system. Yatra ubayoho samadoshaha, smriti virodha dosha is there in both chetana karanavada and achetana karanavada. Therefore, you, the Purvapakshi, have no right to charge me. And then comes the next question. If in either case, we have to reject, let us say, some smriti, why did you choose Sankhya smriti? You could have rejected something else by taking to chetana karanavada. For that, our Siddhanti's answer is, not only when I take to Chetana Karanavada, I reject only Sankhya Smriti, whereas when I take Achetana Karanavada, not only Manusmriti is rejected, in fact, the very Veda will get rejected. Because Veda only postulates the Chetana Karanavada. So, and therefore, in Achetana Karanavada, two rejections are there, whereas in Chetana Karanavada, only one rejection of Sankhya Smriti is there. It will be like cutting the tree on which I am seated, on the branch of the tree on which I am seated. Therefore, I have to reject one Smriti, and therefore, we will reject those Smritis which are not in keeping with Vedanta Tatparya. And therefore, we choose the Sankhya Smriti that does not stick to the Veda Tatparya. So first, let us do the running meaning of this sutra. Smriti anavakasha dosha prasanga. And we have to supply here, if Chetana Karanavada is accepted, that we have to supply. If Chetana Karanavada is accepted, that is not given in the sutra, we have to supply that. So Smriti anavakasha dosha prasanga means the defect of redundancy of smritis. And again, like example here is like Sankhya philosophy, that is not given here in the sutra, we have to supply, that will arise. So the defect of redundancy of smritis will arise. That is all the meaning of the particular statement, smriti anavakasha dosha prasanga. Iti chet, if it is argued in this way, is Purvapakshi's portion. And na, na means it is not accepted. I think Mr. Balakrishnan's phone has to be muted. And this is the running meaning. Now we will see the significance of the words now. Smriti anavakasha dosha prasangaha. This is a compound word consisting of four words. Smriti, anavakashaha, doshaha, and prasangaha. Four words. And here the word smriti refers to Sankhya smriti, as I said earlier, in particular. And all other Achetana Karanavada smritis, they are also included in general. Then the next word is anavakashaha. Anavakashaha, avakashaha, anavakashaha. Anavakashaha means redundance, uselessness, non-validity, no scope. And then doshaha means the defect. And what is the defect kept in mind here? Smritehe anavakashaha sahayeva doshaha. The defect in the form of redundancy of Sankhya Smriti, that is the defect. That means what? According to Purvapakshi, Sankhya Smriti should not become redundant. It should also be accommodated. Whereas our view, Siddhanti's view is, even if it is Smriti, even if it is Sankhya Smriti is a Smriti, if it is against Veda, we cannot accept it. And Sankhya feels that all should be accommodated. Therefore, unrealistic accommodation is also not correct, is our answer. Not accommodating is a doshaha according to Sankhya's.
and we do not think it is a dosha, then prasangaha. Prasangaha means possibility. So the smriti anavakasha dosha prasangaha means there is possibility of defect in the form of redundancy of sankhya smriti. This is the meaning of the compound word. This is the purvapakshi portion. Then iti chet. If this argument is made by you, na, there is no such defect. Siddhanti says there is no such defect because anya smriti anavakasha dosha prasangat. This is also a similar compound with five words here. There is an additional word, anya, is the only addition. So this is anya smriti, other smritis. So what are those smritis here? Chetana karanavada smritayaha. Those which accept Chetanam Brahman alone is Jagat Karana, those smritis. So if I accommodate Sankhya smriti, naturally I will displace Manu smriti because it talks about Chetana Karanavada. And if you accommodate Manu smriti, then you have to reject Sankhya smriti. Therefore, this defect is not a defect because we have to push people out in the Sankhya or Manu. So if Anya smriti and Anya smriti anavakasha doshaha prasangate. This again, fifth case, panchami, hiheto panchami, all those, and maybe don't go to that. So, and the sadhyam is na doshaha. Okay. Then Shankaracharya gives some more arguments also. That we'll see maybe one of them here as a sample. The Sankhya philosopher comes once again, and he says, I will find out a method of accommodation. I can give you a solution how to accommodate Sankhyas. Because what did you say? He says, if you accept Sankhya Smriti through Achetana Karanavada, then Manu Smriti will become redundant. That is your argument. Siddhanti's argument was that. Now Sankhya philosopher says, I will give you a solution. Thereby, you can accept Achetana Karanavada of Sankhya without Manu Smriti getting redundant or rejected. I can give you a solution. Manu Smriti, what does it do? It deals with both the Karmakanda portion as also Jnanakanda portion. So it talks about Manushya Dharma, Varnashrama Dharma, Purusha Dharma, Stri Dharma, Sannyasa Dharma, all kinds of Dharma it talks about, Manu Smriti. So it also talks about Vedanta philosophy also, which is Chetana Karanavada also it does. Now the Purvapakshi says, what is his solution? He says, if you interpret Achetana Karanavada, that is right, then Sankhya also will be accepted. If you interpret Achetana Karanavada, if you accept that, then Sankhya also will be accepted and Manu Smriti also will not be totally rejected because only the philosophical portion of Manu Smriti alone will be rejected by accepting the dharmic portion, the dharma portion of Manu Smriti. So the Karmakanda portion of Manusmriti you take, the Vedanta portion, philosophy portion you reject, then you take Achetana Karanavada of Sankhya, then in that case you will accept both. So for philosophy, follow Sankhya and reject the philosophical portion of Manusmriti and accept the one dealing with Dharma and all that thing. But this you cannot do the other way around. You cannot accept Manu's philosophy and Sankhya's Dharma because In Sankhya Darshanam, no dharma is talked about. You cannot say for philosophy you follow Manu Smriti and for way of life you take Sankhya Smriti because Sankhya Smriti does not talk about dharma at all. And therefore, if you reject Sankhya Smriti, the entire Sankhya Smriti will be lost. But if you reject Manu Smriti, the entire Manu Smriti will not go away. This is his argument. And this is a very peculiar argument. And this is called Savakasha Niravakasha argument. There's a name for this argument. This is called Savakasha Niravakasha argument. Let me explain. What is the argument here? When you reject Sankhya philosophy, the smriti, it is totally rejected. The entire smriti will be rejected if you reject Sankhya philosophy. Therefore, Sankhya smriti will become what? It will become Niravakasham, no use at all. Niravakasha means no use. It will become no use. Because Sankhya Smriti does not have anything other than philosophy. If it also talks about Dharma, we can take the Dharma portion of it. Whereas in Manu Smriti, there is both philosophy and way of life Dharma. And if you reject Manu's philosophy, still the way of Dharma, Manu's Dharma will still be there. So Manu's Smriti has got Savakasha. This Avakasha is there. So it is a Savakasha Smriti, Savakasha. And the other one is Niravakasha Smriti. Savakasha Smriti means the Dharma portion of Manu's Smriti will be taken. And there is a rule also. Savakasha Niravakasha Yohur Madhye Niravakasham Baliyaha. That is a rule. Savakasha Niravakasha Niravakasha Yohur Madhye Niravakasham Baliyaha. When one is Niravakasha and the other is Savakasham, then Niravakasham stands out better. Otherwise, the whole Sankhya Darshanam will go away. Savakasha is Manu Smriti and Sankhya is Niravakasha Smriti. Therefore, Sankhya Smriti is to be accepted. This is whose conclusion? Purvapakshi's conclusion. Now, what Siddhanti says to that? So, Savakasha, Niravakasha rule he brought. Now, Siddhanti says, there is another rule. If you are bringing a rule, I can also bring a rule. He says, Pramana apramanayor madhye pramanam baliyaha. He said, Savakasha, Niravakasha, between them, Niravakasha is stronger. Whereas he says, Siddhanti says, Pramana apramanayor madhye pramanam baliyaha. Between an invalid philosophy and valid philosophy alone is stronger. That one only must be accepted. Here between Sankhya Smriti and Manu Smriti, Sankhya Smriti is apramanam. Manu Smriti is pramana, Veda pramana. Why do we say so? Because Sankhya Smriti goes against the Vedic teaching. It contradicts the Veda itself. While Smriti is supposed to get validity from what? From Smriti is supposed to get validity from Shruti only. How can it contradict Shruti from which it is supposed to get support? And therefore, it becomes apramana. Sankhya Smriti becomes apramana. But on the other hand, Manu Smriti is within the ambit of Vedic teaching. And therefore, it is pramana. Therefore, pramana apramana yor madhyem pramanam baliyaha. That rule if you invoke between Sankhya Smriti and Manu Smriti can be accepted and Sankhya Smriti has to be rejected. Therefore, Chetana Karanavada has to be accepted. All these arguments to establish Chetana Karanavada only. This is Siddhanti's contention. Then another question comes. What happens then to the first two rules? Savakasha Niravakasha Yor Madhye Niravakasham Baliyaha. What are you going to do with that rule? If you ask, Purvapakshi says, you have only quoted another rule. Purvapakshi says to the Siddhanti, I quoted a rule for which you quoted another rule. But you have not solved the situation arising from the first rule. You should have solved that situation and given me a remedy also. But you only brought another rule. For that, Siddhanti says, the first rule is valid when both are pramanams. Niravakasha pramanam and Savakasha pramanam should be there for us to follow this rule. Here one is pramanam, another is not pramanam, apramanam. Hence this cannot be accepted, is Siddhanti's answer. For which he wants an example. What is the example you have? Now we have to be careful. When Swamiji gives this example, so I'm also giving it. So when I quote the example, one's mind should not go in other directions. Just only focus on the example. For example, if you quote the Maitreyi Brahmanam of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, just as an incidental point, Maitreyi Brahmanam, if I quote for some reason, in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Maitreyi Brahmanam story, in the Yajnavalkya story, one says, what he understood from Yajnavalkya story is what? After listening to the story, he says, one can have two wives. If that is the conclusion he is going to draw, what can you do with such a person? So that is what Swamiji gives here as a disclaimer. The example that Swamiji gives is Pashu Himsa, animal sacrifice in Veda, in the Yagas. It's a controversial topic. I am also not familiar. I am not also not supportive of this. But anyway, this is said in Shruti. So we cannot contest it. It is a vidhi. It is a Veda Pramana vidhi. Pashu Himsa vidhi. And then there is another vidhi called Na Himsyat Sarva Bhutani. Do not follow Ahimsa. Ahimsa vidhi everywhere. That rule also is there in Shruti. So Himsa vidhi is there. Ahimsa vidhi is also there. Both of them are there. Now, when Himsa vidhi is there in Yaga, the question is, can we reject Himsa vidhi by taking the Ahimsa vidhi found elsewhere in the Vedas itself? Is the question. We have a problem because both are Veda vidhis only. We cannot apply the Pramana vidhi. Therefore, we have to find out Savakasha or Niravakasha vidhi. And what is the Niravakasha vidhi here? If you analyze, Yage Himsa is Niravakasha vidhi. Or Nahimsya Sarva Bhutani is Niravakasha vidhi. If you have to find out which one is Niravakasha vidhi, we will find out Yage Himsa is Niravakasha vidhi, because if you reject this, this law cannot be applied anywhere else in the Shruti. Because everywhere else, Ahimsa only is talked about. Only in the context of Yagas alone, this particular thing is talked about. Because there is no other context. Because it talks about the Yaga context. And if you do not accept in Yaga context, it will not be applicable anywhere else in the Vedas. Therefore, this vidhi will become Niravakasha vidhi, useless vidhi in other contexts. But Ahimsa vidhi, one should not hurt anybody, even unintentionally. Manasa, vacha, karmana, one cannot hurt anyone. This is Savakasha vidhi. It will be useful in all contexts except Yaga context. And therefore, Ahimsa vidhi is Savakasha vidhi. And between Savakasha and Niravakasha vidhis, Niravakasha is Baliyaham. And therefore, there is no dosha of Himsa in Yaga, is the argument. This is the quoted by Shankaracharya himself in the Gita Bhashyam introduction to show that for Arjuna in the battlefield, rejecting Ahimsa vidhi is not a dosha. Because Yuddhe Himsa is also Niravakasha vidhi. So we say, O Purupakshim, do not apply Savakasha Niravakasha vidhi in this context, because that rule can be applied only when there are two Pramana Vakyas. Here that rule does not apply, and you should apply Pramana Pramana rule only. Pramana Pramana your Madhyam, Pramanam Baliyaha. And therefore, I can very happily reject Sankhya Smriti, even though it is Niravakasha Smriti, because it happens to be Apramana Smriti. That is the argument Shankaracharya puts forward. So let us go to the second sutra of Smriti Adhikarana. Itaresham cha anupalabdehe is the second sutra, 136th running Brahma Sutra. So the second argument in support of first sutra is given here. First, let us see the general analysis of this sutra. Here, a second argument is given in support of what? In support of Chetana Karanavada's acceptance or rejection of Achetana Karanavada of Sankhya. So the controversy is what? In the field of Karanam. Chetana Karanam or Achetana Karanam. Whether it has got Shruti support or not. And Vyasacharya says, let us temporarily forget the controversy in the Karana field, in the field of cause. Let us focus in the field of Karya Prapancha, the effect, the creation. And let us see in the field of Karya Prapancha or Srishti, creation, which is closer to Sruti. That we will find in the Karya field and then extend it to the Karana field. That is Vyasacharya's approach. And when we see the Srishti Prakriya, creation of Sankhyas, we mentioned all these things much earlier, the Srishti Prakriya of Sankhya. They introduce newer and newer terms which are not in keeping with the Shruti. We don't find those terms in Shruti at all. For example, Pradhana. There is no in Shruti, there is no Pradhana. So they introduce terms like Achetana Mahattattvam, which is not accepted by Shruti. Whereas Shruti talks about what? Tasmat dva e tasmat atmana akasha sambhutaha akasha dvayuhu vayor agnihi agnerapaha adhya prithivi. So it starts with akasha shrishti e tasmat akasha sambhutaha and then Sukshma Bhuta Sritti, all the five elements. Whereas in Sankhya, it introduces a peculiar tattvam called Mahat Tattvam and another tattvam called Ahankara Tattvam. And from that particular Ahankara Tattvam alone emerges all the Panchabhutas. Panchabhuta Srishti comes from Ahankara Tattvam. That's what says Sankhya philosophy says. The Sankhya Smriti introduces two factors, and between the original cause and the Panchabhutas, it introduces intermediary factors consisting of Mahat and Ahankara. This is Sankhya philosophy, for which there is no Pramanam also. Because either we have to prove something through our Paurusha Pramanam by our instruments of knowledge that should establish something, or we should have Apaurusha Pramanam support like Shastras. But your Mahat and Ahankara, Purva Pakshi's Mahat and Ahankara Tattvas are neither visible to the eyes or available to logic. And there is no Shruti support, Veda support also. Therefore, they are all your imagination, Purva Pakshi's imagination. That is what Acharya says. Therefore, Mahat and Ahankara are unproved categories. And therefore, in the context of Karya Prapancha, Sankhya philosophy is against Veda. And if you extend that in the context of Karanam also, this is Karya, effect, creation. And in the context of Karanam also, it is against Veda alone. So, Karya Vishaye Apramanyatim, Karana Vishaye Api Apramanyam. Since it is invalid in the field of Karya Prapancha, it is invalid in the field of Karana Prapancha also, because of Apramanyam. That is the general analysis of this sutra. Now, let us go to the word analysis. The running meaning of the sutra is what? Anupalabdehe. There is a word, anupalabdehe, because of the non-perception. Because of the non-perception of what? Itareshancha, of others. Non-perception of all others also. Others means here what? Others refer to Mahat and Ahankara also. There is no defect of Smriti Virodha. That is what is to be supplied. That is not there in the sutra. We have to supply. There is no defect of Smriti Virodham because of the non-perception of others like Mahat and Ahankara. Then the significance of the words, let us see now. Itaresham, that's the word itaresham. The other categories of Sankhya philosophy belonging to the Karya or Srishti, creation. And what are the other categories kept in mind here? Mahat and Ahankara, etc. Sha means in its conjunction. To join the previous sutra. Anupalabdehi means non-perception. They are not accessible to be perceived, accessible to sense organs. Shruti also, Mahat and all, Mahat Ahankara and all, they you cannot perceive. And Smriti also does not talk about an Achetana Mahat Tattvam and Achetana Ahankara Tattvam also, Shruti does not talk. Shruti means Vedas. And therefore, what is neither proved by Paurusheya Pramanam nor Apaurusheya Pramanam, how can I accept a philosophy which introduces all kinds of imagination? Siddhanti asks the Purvashi. Therefore, I can happily reject Sankhya Smriti without feeling any guilt whatsoever. That is Siddhanti's contention. And if you introduce any category with no pramana, everyone will become a philosopher. And there will be no vyavastha at all or support for such a philosophical system. Mahat and Ahankara are karyams belonging to the apramana category, not pramana category. Why Mahat and Ahankara are not supported by Veda? This is the counter question raised by the Sankhya philosopher. Why Veda is not supporting Mahat and Ahankara? That also we have to answer. Shankaracharya answers. He says, you have followed the first chapter of Brahma Sutra. Have you or not? He is asking Purva Pakshi. We are in the second chapter now. Have you followed the first chapter? We have already discussed before in the first chapter, fourth section, first sutra, Brahma Sutra. whether the word mahata, abhyaktam, etc. refers to sankhya or different category. So there itself, anumanikam apyekesham iti ched, na shariru upaka vinyasta grihitehe dasha iti cha. We have established those words are different and the meaning is different. Ahankara and mahat have got entirely different meaning under Vedanta. While the meaning of the same words are entirely different in Sankhya philosophy. And the interpretation of ours is having the support of Veda themselves, Shruti themselves, Shrutis. Sankhya Ahankara is the cause of five elements in Sankhya philosophy. In Vedanta, the five elements have come from Brahman itself. And therefore, thereafterwards, then Ahankara comes from five elements themselves. So our Ahankara is after the Srishti of five elements, and their Ahankara is before the Srishti of five elements. This is the first point. And the second point Acharya brings is, this Purvapakshi somehow wants to validate the Sankhya Smriti and wants to accommodate Sankhya philosophy, somehow or the other. And we have shown that Sankhya philosophy is against Veda, that we have been always telling. So as such, when we reject the Sankhya Smriti, then what they go to? They talk about the glory of the founder of Sankhya Darshana itself, Kapila Muni. Such a great Muni, such a great Mahatma. So when the philosophy does not stand ground, you drop it and talk about the author. Siddhanti tells Purvapakshi. You drop the Vidhi, you go to the author. He is a very well-known Rishi and all that thing you contend. And how can you reject a philosophy of a Mahapurusha like Kapila? That is their argument. So Purvapakshi says that you cannot doubt Kapila as Veda accepts Kapila Muni also he quotes. Veda, because Kapila, the word Kapila comes in Vedas also. As Svetasvatara Upanishad says, he talks about him. Adi Shankara, this is Kapila Muni. Adi Shankaracharya says, the word Kapila occurs in Veda and it has nothing to do with the Kapila Muni of Sankhya philosophy. The Kapila mentioned in Veda refers to Hiranyagarbha, born out of Ishvara. In the Vedic context, Kapila there means Hiranyagarbha, born out of Ishvara, not any Kapila Muni. So Kapila does not have Vedic support. Kapila Muni does not have Vedic support. What Manu has taught is a tonic to humanity. Now the Purvapakshi says, Kapila is supported by Smriti Pramanam. He says, Kapila is greatly glorified as an avatar of Vishnu. Father Shankaracharya says that avatara Kapila is different from Sankhya Kapila. Because the very teaching of avatara Kapila is different from Sankhya Kapila in Bhagavatam. This is evident from the Bhagavad Mahapurana. That Atma Ekatvam is taught in Bhagavad Mahapuranam, but Sankhya Kapila teaches Atma Anekatvam, plurality. Whereas in Bhagavad Puranam, it talks about Atma Ekatvam as Kapila's teaching, Kapila Avatara of Mahavishnu. So Bhagavad Kapila also teaches Jagan Nityatvam by giving Swapna Drishtanta. Even though objects are not there, we do see them in dream. And similarly, even though duality is not there, we see Maya Avidya. So Avatara Kapila, the Kapila given in Bhagavatam, the Kapila Avataram, is Atma Eka Jagan Mithyatva Vadim, and the Sankhya Kapila is Atma Bahutva Jagat Satyatva Vadi. For the Vedantin, Jagat Mithyatvavadis. For Sankhya's, Jagat Satyatvavadi. And Atma Bhutvam, many, plurality. So Sankhya means wisdom also. Another name for Sankhya is wisdom. So Sankhya Yoga, second chapter. So even though they use the word for wisdom, their wisdom means Atma Anekatvam Jagat Satyatvam. For them, knowledge is that. For the Sankhya's, their knowledge, their wisdom is Atma Anekatvam and Jagat Satyatvam. And the Sankhya of Kapila Muni is different from Sankhya of Veda. So the word Sankhya is same, but the meaning as per Sankhya philosophy and Vedanta, they are different. And now they come out with the argument that Kapila is a Siddha Purushaha. Among the Siddha Purushas, I am Kapila. That's what Bhagavad Gita Krishna said in Vibhuti Yoga. Ashvatta Sarva Vrikshanam Devarshinam Chanaradaha Gandharvanam Chitrarataha Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi. Then how can you reject the philosophy of a Siddha Purusha? Is their argument. So they don't want to leave. Purupakshi say, he is a Siddha Purusha. How can you reject the argument of a Siddha Purusha? Shankaracharya says, how did Kapila become Siddha, Siddha Purusha? How did he become a great person? He did so only by following the Vedic powers. When he has derived the powers from Veda, how can he negate the Veda itself from which he has gained the Vedic powers? Having derived from powers from Veda, how can he get the capacity to reject Veda from where he has derived all the powers? Kanada Muni also is given the title of Sarvajnaha. Kanada Muni, he is also given a title of Sarvajnaha. Can I accept omniscience for both of them? Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman, can we accept for both of them? If both are Sarvajnas, how can there be deadly contradiction between Nyaya and Sankhya? We cannot accept because of all these reasons. That is Shankaracharya's argument. Then the Purvapakshi asks, you may not accept Vedic and Smriti support. That's fine. To Sankhya. And at least, do you believe in logic? All these other things don't believe. That's okay. But at least, do you believe in logic? Yes. We say yes. But with limitation is our answer. We believe in logic, but with limitation. Sankhya is clearly established on Tarka foundation. This we have mentioned many times. On the foundation of logic, Sankhya is established. And even if you do not accept me because of other reasons, you should accept me on Tarka basis. That is the contention of the Purvapakshi Sankhya. Then Shankaracharya says, in the next pada of second chapter, so he is going to say that, I would analyze how much logical is Sankhya philosophy. He goes to shake the very foundation of Sankhya philosophy. Yes, Sankhya philosophy is based on Tarka foundation. So let me examine, I'll analyze how much logical is Sankhya philosophy. And then I will negate that Sankhya is Shruti Tarka Virodha also. It is against Shruti, it is also against Tarka. Therefore, Sankhya Smriti is not acceptable according to Shankaracharya's contention. Our tradition is not based on personality. And no one is greater than Veda. The title of Muni and all Rishi, all those things, we are not going to blindly follow them. Even Avatara is not bigger than Veda, according to us. The best example being Buddha himself. Even though Buddha is said to be an Avatara, we will not accept Buddha as an Avatara and will negate Buddha also because they didn't believe in Veda. So never fall for personality cult. Don't, you can say it is Buddha's whatever philosophy. It is not Buddhism as another thing. Never fall for personality cult. Krishna is accepted not because of Krishna avatara, but because he respects Veda. It should not contradict Shruti. It should not contradict Yukti. It should not contradict Anubhava also, day-to-day experience. We have mentioned all this earlier. So every tradition experiences should, or they all, every traditional experience should pass the Veda test. If there are modern acharyas also, no problem. We give credence to them only when they follow the Vedic injunctions. We lose Veda because the so-called Mahapurushas, they never followed Veda seriously, and the person has become bigger than Veda himself, and it is a worst calamity for our spiritual growth. That is why we say scripture should be learned from those who have studied Veda. Veda. That's why it said in Upanishads, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. You want a guru who was a Shrotri, who was himself a student who learned the Vedas. and who is also Brahmanishtaha, who is also established in Brahman, Brahman Hotel. So reading other literatures other than Veda, one will be in trouble and will not conform to the standards suggested by Vedas. Krishna generally follows Veda. He says gradually karma will take you to moksha. Gradually he says karma will take you to moksha. How? It will give you chitta shuddhi, and then it will give you guru upasadanam, go to a guru, and jnana prapti, and then achieve moksha. That is the way. So in case of Sankhya, majority of people do not follow the primary teaching according to Veda. So Vyasacharya and Sankaracharya do not accept a personality cult. Guru taught the Shishya Dharma. And until he learned Dharma, the Shishya will follow the Guru. Whatever Guru does, how he does, he will follow the Guru. And Guru says to the Shishya, do not follow me in all respects, as I am also likely to commit mistakes. Maybe Dharmaputra, whether he is, or whether it is Bhishma, even then they will say, do not follow me verbatim, I am also likely to make mistakes. Personality is guideline up to a particular limit. And sooner or later, Shastra should be one's guideline. Even with respect to Dharma Shastra, we don't believe in personality cult and take to Shastra Pramanam only strictly. This is taught even by Dharma Shastra as also in other Shastras. What is important is what? Shastram is our support, and that alone protects us and not the personality of an individual. That which protects humanity is Shastram only. Thereafter, after liberation, after gaining moksha, it is said that you should leave Shastram also. First, hold on to God. God will give you Guru, and Guru will give you Shastram, and Shastram will give you yourself. Shastram will give you yourself, nature of you. With this, the first adhikaranam is now over. Since Upanishadic statements are analyzed, Vishayaha, etc. is not evident here. Till the entire second chapter, the Vishayaha of all the adhikaranams has got one subject matter. And what is that? The samanvaya done in the first chapter is the subject matter here. The consistency, samanvaya is consistency. Consistency is of what is that? That is Chetana Upadanakara. The samanvaya done in the first chapter is the subject matter here, in the second chapter also. Brahman is the second chapter. In the second chapter was proved in the first chapter. And that is the subject matter of the second chapter. Then the samshaya is what? The doubt is whether the consistency is clearly established or not.
Yeah, no trouble.
Same problem with the galaxy S10-4. Every day. I don't think when it is going to get a
I don't know.
Samanvaya siddha va asiddha va? That is the question. Then the Purupakshi says, samanvaya is asiddha. It is not clearly established. That is Purupakshi's contention. His reason is what? Because of the virodha. Virodha means contradiction is whether it is with Shruti or Tarka or Sankhya. It changes from adhikaranam to adhikaranam. But what is common in all is some contradiction Purupakshi will always bring about. And Siddhanta has to negate. Siddhanta says samanvaya is established. And Sangati, we have already told, is a standard answer we give, that the adhikaranam is in the appropriate position of the second chapter. And we will not deal with in more detail all these things. So we'll only make this that statement. In some relevant places, we'll make an analysis of that Sangati also. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya ya parasamaheshwara purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate om shanti 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 shri krishna.